Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your blessings on this today and give us discernment, understanding, warning, anything that's needed here, Lord. Things are changing quickly, very quickly. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, I'm just going to call this Things to Come, question mark. Pray, that makes a difference, doesn't it? I want to share a part of Dana Coverstone's revelation and then go on from there. That was on 5/19/23 that he received this, but I'm seeing fulfillments of it. This revelation seems to be the backlash of the deep state against the supporters of the alliance and the people in general. Dana said that this dream lasted from April 17th to May the 16th, almost a month, almost 30 days. It's been one of the longest dreams he's had, he said. The dream began with me sitting in the top of a very tall tree, looking down on fog and mist that hung over the entire nation. It was covering over Canada and Mexico as well. It did not cover the water, just this nation, only the land. Well, anyway, my thought was it appears as a fog, but this is man-made and controlled. Prevailing winds would normally just remove it, right? He went on to say, I can see the physical land covered in fog. It's covered Canada and Mexico as well, but it looked like the fog was churning. It was moving. It was staying in place over the United States of America. Well, this is man-made and controlled. Chemtrails gauge the prevailing winds to put their poison where they want it. This movement probably means it's alive. Okay. But it was not staying over Mexico or Canada. It reminded me of a locust swarm that you can see like in a National Geographic photo. Anyway, I thought the locusts in Joel chapter 2 were the Assyrian army that was able to take down apostate northern 10 tribes, but not the bride, which was Jerusalem. He went on to say it was just moving effortlessly, but it was also frothing. It was like the steam coming off of hot coffee or hot cocoa or hot tea or something. But what it covered was thick, and you cannot see anything below what you were seeing from the top of the fog. Couldn't see through it, in other words. Well, true fog skips dry areas and manifests over damp, watery places. So this is not a true fog. And as I was pondering the moving of the fog, is when the man appeared to me, and I believe the man is Jesus or represents the Holy Spirit at times, but he came out and he simply said, "Let me show you something." And he grabbed my hand, and we stepped out into the air because I was in a tall tree looking down. I was kind of hanging, you know, like holding on to a limb with my feet, looking at it. I'm thankful that God sees all the things that are going on. He knows what's coming. He knows what's happening. And I just had that sense as I was watching that I was about to be instructed or told some things. So we descended down through the fog. We were not flying. It was like we were walking. The fog seemed to be very evil and very intentional. It appeared to try to reach out and grab me with these eerie ethereal arms. Well, of course, it is a menace to man and kills many, whether they know it or not. They're finally admitting some of it. But it was almost like the fog was alive. Well, it is alive. It's a disease. It was dark. It was evil. But it was trying to grab hold. The man led me on until he reached the ground, and then he said, "Look up." So when he said that, I realized that the fog was gone, but I could see jets that were flying in all directions, and it appeared to be almost 7 or 7:30 at night. It was dusk. How often we have seen this very same thing, these chemtrails that they paste over our towns and countries and so on and so forth. The lights were going off as people were getting ready for bed. Darkness was hitting. It was almost like I could see traffic had stopped and people were home going to bed and to get ready for work the next day. So in other words, poisoned as they slept, right? So I'm watching all these jets that are going back and forth, north, south, east, and west, flying in all directions. It was obviously dusk and the lights were going out. And that's when I realized that I heard this loud hissing and every single jet was spraying something out of the exhaust. And his note here is, we would call these things chemtrails. Yes, of course. And the jets flying north would be going north for a while and then suddenly turn around and come back and spray the same way. The ones going east would go east for a couple of miles and then come back, and it was like regional. It wasn't like one jet going all the way north and south. It was not just east and west. It was like this is in every state. There were jets flying over in every state, every region, every area in that sense. And the jets flying east and west were doing what the ones going north and south were doing. They kept blanketing the country in whatever it was spraying. The time passed, and the jets disappeared. Okay, in A.A. Allen's vision, he saw the same thing, and then people started dropping dead everywhere in the United States. I'll share that in a few minutes, or that portion of it anyway. Then I saw people getting up, leaving their houses and going to work. So all of this stuff was being done at night. And the sense that I have about it was a whole lot of evil that's going on right here and right now in our world. The spraying was going on at night when no one was aware, no one was watching, and no one was awake. Almost as if there was some elite and corporate plan to poison the nation. Well, that's exactly what it is. It's a satanic depopulation cult, right? Well, let me say now, this is what happened to us. On July the 1st, Michael and I had a very similar thing happen to us, very similar. And as we were headed into the city for our prayer meeting, I saw clouds that were black and mentioned to Michael that we had just been chemtrailed. Later, after we left the meeting, we started smelling that burnt smell in the air, and it got worse and worse and darker as we approached the lower part of downtown. In other words, we were going down, like he came down from the tree. So this part reminded me of Dana's experience of looking down from treetop level and seeing the dense darkness. And then when he descended, he looked up and saw the dense blackness that could not be seen through. Well, that's what happened to us. It was just like this as we dropped about a tree's distance down to the lower part of town. There was a hill there. We were dropping down, and suddenly we came into what that smell was. So we could only see light at the horizon when we got down there, and the smell was far worse than we have ever experienced. I've smelt the smell before, but nothing like this. It was a choking feeling. It stayed with us until we got to the house, which was out of town, and went inside. And where the atmosphere was totally different, we immediately realized that we had gotten out of that atmosphere, okay? Well, my angel told me that they had hit a few cities before they grounded the planes. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we know that that did happen, you know, and they grounded the planes. Okay, they put a stop to it. It didn't go any further. Well, back to Dana's revelation. Once again, the fog was over Mexico and Canada, but it was not moving anywhere except the United States of America. Also, I realized, this is his statement, that this is probably a real conspiracy. These things that were going on, the things that we're seeing in that regard, and it's all happening at night, so nobody sees them. And he said, people are getting up for school, getting on the buses and going to school. And then the next thing that I see happening is this. I was standing in Times Square watching those Jumbotron television screens with a breaking news item of a major outbreak of a new virus. Now, the timeline that I could tell in the dream is late summer, early fall, as news broadcasts were talking about this. The World Health Organization was laying out guidelines that must be followed regardless of constitutions or national law. Okay, I don't think they're going to be successful, okay? But anyway, this is, of course, to kill the population and make money for the deep state pharmaceutical companies because they own WHO. And those are the two words they used, regardless of constitutions or national law. There were military tanks and Hummers that started patrolling as the announcements were being made. And I said to the man that the jets appeared to be the source of the medical issue. So he makes a comment here. He said, so here I saw that the news was complicit and almost an accomplice with what was going on and what was being said. Obviously, somebody was behind this, and it was happening at night. And so, who knows if that's the cause, and he's meaning of the disease, right? All we realize is that there is something sinister happening in our world, and it's being allowed, it's being pushed probably by those in power. Well, of course, yep. Mm-hmm. So, let me share this piece of Evangelist A.A. Allen's vision, which I believe is talking about this. He said, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Psalm 91, 5 and 6. And I agree with that 100%. Me and Michael didn't have any bad effects, even though that stuff was very choking, and it was no doubt it was meant to hurt somebody. And I think the angels helped out in that regard. And then as I watched another, in fact, I'll say this, I was driving through the same low area of town the next day, and I told Michael, I said, Michael, I still smell that stuff here. It wasn't like a cloud anymore. It was more like a residue, you know. But anyway, so... He AA goes on to say, "Then as I watched, another amazing thing was taking place far to the northwest, just over Alaska. A huge black cloud was arising. As it rose, it was as black as night. It seemed to be in the shape of a man's head. As it continued to arise, I observed two light spots in the black cloud. It rose further, and a gaping hole appeared. I could see that the black cloud was taking the shape of a skull." Well, a skeleton skull has been the symbol of poison for many, many years. I used to see it a lot more when I was younger, but that's what it was. It was a warning. This is poison. So, for now, the huge white gaping mouth was plainly visible. Finally, the head was complete. And then the shoulders began to appear, and on either side, long black arms. Of course, that also there is a symbol of death, a skeleton, right? "It seemed that what I saw was the entire North American continent spread out like a map upon a table, with this terrible skeleton-formed cloud arising from behind the table." Now, let me say something. Way back when he had this, there was no thoughts of any of this or no proof of any of this. It had to be from God. "It rose steadily until the form was visible down to the waist. And at the waist, the skeleton seemed to bend towards the United States, stretching forth a hand towards the east and one towards the west, one towards North New York and one towards Seattle. And as the awful form stretched forward, I could see that its entire attention seemed to be focused upon the United States, overlooking Canada, at least for the time being. And as I saw the horrible black cloud in the form of a skeleton bending towards America, bending from the waist over, reaching down towards Chicago and out towards both coasts, I knew its one interest was to destroy the multitudes. As I watched in horror, the great black cloud stopped just above the Great Lakes region and turned its face towards New York City. Then out of the horrible, great gaping mouth began to appear wisps of white vapor." Well, that's kind of what it looks like behind the chemtrail planes, you know. "White vapor, which looked like smoke, as a cigarette smoker would blow puffs of smoke from its mouth. These whitish vapors were being blown towards New York City. The smoke began to spread until it had covered all of the eastern part of the United States." Yep, yep. "Then the skeleton turned to the west, and out of a horrible mouth and nostrils came another great puff of white smoke. This time it was blown in the direction of the West Coast. In a few moments' time, the entire West Coast and Los Angeles area was covered with its vapors." Mm-hmm. "Then towards the center came a third great puff. As I watched, St. Louis and Kansas City were enveloped in its white vapors. Then on they came towards New Orleans." Let me say, back in those days when he got this, we didn't have an armada of chemtrail planes that could cover the nation. That would have been ridiculous, okay? But now we do, okay? And the angels have grounded those a few times. And they did it on that night when we prayed against it. Okay? "And suddenly the silence was shattered by the screaming of sirens. The sirens seemed to scream, 'Run for your lives!' Where could you run, right? Never before had I heard such shrill, screaming sirens. They seemed to be everywhere, to the north, to the south, to the east, and to the west. There seemed to be multitudes of sirens, and as I looked, I saw people everywhere running, but it seemed none of them ran more than a few paces, and then they fell. I now saw millions of people falling in the streets, on the sidewalks, struggling. I heard their screams for mercy and help. I heard their horrible coughing, as though their lungs had been seared with fire. It was a choking event that we went through. You could feel the choke in your throat, Let me say that often warnings like this get out so that God's true people can pray the judgment down or even away, okay? So I'll leave that with you. That was part of our title, right? Pray. Now here's another part of an attack, I would say. Andrew Galinas entitled this Worldwide Paralysis and Sifting of the Tears Dream. He got this on 6/13/24, and it's pretty interesting. He gives Matthew 13:49 So shall it be to the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the righteous, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, let me say, the righteous will be protected if they, and righteousness partially means that you believe what the Word of God says, okay? And Psalm 91 is pretty clear. We should believe it. So in my dream, the first thing I remember was I was loading up a newspaper inserting machine like I used to at the newspaper I worked at about 10 years ago. The machine would start running, but I had a hard time keeping up with the loading the stacks of inserts into it quickly enough so that I had to keep hitting the stop button so I could get a tall enough stack in before running it again. Okay, you know inserts in the newspapers, right? Every one of them has got those inserts in them, and they've got to be inserted there. And mostly the newspaper represents, I believe, the good news here of the gospel. The inserts are what the publishers use to make money off the good news, like many preachers do, right? But this shows, this slows down the ability for the good news to get out quickly, because these people are not walking in the Spirit and doing things in a spiritual way. And Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give, and given it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. So that's just principles. Now let's get back to the revelation here. Then later on, I and another person were handling these strange gems or crystal-like stones at a table where I was still in the newspaper facility. Okay. In the dream, these objects were somehow the news and were what was needed to go into the newspaper. Okay. So I believe the gems are the really valuable revelations that people need and are not getting in their churches. It needs to be a part of the good news, these gems. But they pretty much gutted the good news to where it is not powerful. Anyway, I was working at breaking off chunks of the clear, brittle stone with my fingers. The other stone I saw the other person handling was a purple amethyst color. Purple represents royalty. The good news, gems, bring one into the royal family of Jesus, etc., etc. Then the dream moved on, and I was in a single-story house I had never been in before with my wife and my brother Colin. We were just kind of hanging out together, but I kept feeling anxious that I was late for work and kept asking, late for work, his work was, you know, to get out the good news, right? I was late for work and kept asking my brother, Colin, for the time. I had the feeling of it being earlier in the day because I wasn't dressed for work yet and wouldn't have to get ready for a little while yet. I knew I had to be at work at 3 p.m., so I was startled when he or my wife would tell me it was already 1:15. And at other times I'd ask, and it was in the 2 o'clock hour. I had a digital wristwatch on and would try to look at it, but the face was hard to read clearly. It would first appear to be 9 or 10 a.m., but as I was focusing my eyes on it more, it would change to somewhere in the area of 1 or 2 o'clock. So it was getting late. This kept happening over the course of this part of my dream. And I said to him, I said, "You're getting closer to being late to get the good news out freely." Andrew had a revelation that he would be here with us getting the good news out, and we believe it. So I was just telling him at the time, I said, "So don't be late." Yeah. So the next thing I remember, someone held up a screen that showed that Trump was definitely going to win. And at the time I said to him, "Well, this is about to be abundantly clear. The Supreme Court has made rulings that will cancel the vote. Biden and Congress, in other words, all three of them, but cancel them, and give the presidency to Trump." Now, no doubt that there will be a new election, and that will be for the new country, actually. We're getting away from the democracy and turning to republics. And, of course, Trump will be running for the President of the Republic. So, as I was looking at it, a scene of crowded New York City sidewalk appeared, and when all at once every person walking on the sidewalk or street collapsed on their backs in a state of paralysis. As they lay there with their eyes rolled back in their heads, I began to hear an unearthly, dark-sounding voice speaking over them as into their conscience. Well, believe it or not, they have this kind of technology now. I could hear what the voice was saying in the dream, but don't recall any of it now. Well, both the paralysis and the voice are technologically possible now. I've heard of this. In fact, we've had dreams of the population being stunned and laying on the ground. So just take it for what it is. But you can pray, right? Don't forget, you can pray. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He went on, "Soon after seeing this distressing sight, I became aware that something was happening to the region where I and my family were. It somehow felt like I was on the west coast of the United States, possibly San Francisco. Never been there in reality. We gazed out across the large bay where the land on the other side of the bay was being inundated and or attacked by a sky-sized swarm of strange lighted entities raining down about 2 or 3 miles away. Well, let me say that this reminded me of Satan and his fallen angels of light falling to the earth, as in Revelation 12, where they are cast down by the saints and the angels of God. So that's our job, and I've said this before. You have angels. Send them forth to fight this battle. Cast down Satan. Cast down his demons from their position of principalities over America. Anyway, and then he gives a real example of what he saw in a dream. He said only in this example there were far greater in number. People were questioning, what are those lights coming down? You know, that's what it was. Okay, so at that time, we were gathered out on a large deck, and I looked up and saw, veiled behind a thin layer of clouds about 1,000 feet up, a heavy traffic of large, triangular, alien-looking spacecraft traveling in all directions, but in straight lines. Well, this is a grid pattern, this like the chemtrail planes, in order to attack the populace. Let me say, I don't believe that they're going to use these triangular planes to spray poison. I don't know what they're before, but that's not really their expertise. So this was like you would see in Star Wars movies where a planet would have highways in the sky. Okay, I can't tell you everything I know about this, but these are TR-3Bs, which are very fast, extremely fast, and maneuverable, and can fly in space too. They are spacecraft. These were in the deep state possession up until recently, but were grounded by the angels and given to the alliance. So, since Andrew had this dream, I believe this plot has been foiled. Okay. Not that they can't spray everybody, but they can, this part here. You know, this attack, I think, has been foiled. But we will see. I have more to say. After seeing this, we all hurried back into the house and quickly began turning off all the lights and shutting the curtains. So they're hiding from the deep state enemy. The rear of the house, overlooking the bay, had floor-to-ceiling windows spanning the length of the house, and they continued around the side as well. And after we had finished, we all tried to stay very quiet, and I gathered everyone into the living room to sit on the floor in a circle to pray, because that was the only defense we knew we had. Well, yes, that's a defense, too. And I began to pray, but only got a few words out when I was hit with full body paralysis, just like those I had seen in New York City. Well, let me say about the paralysis thing. This is something that happens quite often when people come in contact with angels or the Lord or whatever. There is a paralysis, or demons, by the way. I prayed over people who had sleep paralysis, couldn't move. You know, it was just a demon holding them down, you know, and they couldn't move. But they also, you know, have physical ways to do this. And obviously they're trying to hide their sound, their voice, and so on, like they can be picked up from above. Well, I believe that's true. So then, as this went on, I began to see this scene from an overhead view. As my figure lay helpless and now alone on the living room floor, I was now seeing through the perspective of a 9 or 10 foot tall, veiled, pitch black figure who was walking through the closed front door. Through the door, right? The door wasn't open. They went through it, okay? So the deep state Satanists are working with demons. They're Satanists. That's what they do. And masquerading as aliens, and sometimes humans, as we have seen with our own eyes. These have no problem, by the way, walking through closed doors or walls. Okay? These leftist Antichrist cities are where they would start. Notice he mentioned two cities, both of them leftist cities, are where they would start to play the alien card, which it's been called. The alien card was the last desperate card that the deep state was going to play and will try to play. Okay, because the leftist people are stupid in this regard. They really don't know. And they actually think these are aliens. So, like all angels in the Bible, fallen angels can take on a bodily form, large or small, and it doesn't have to be a human form. And so they're dealing with something they don't know anything about. But we know because we have seen angels impersonate humans who've been dead for a while. And we've seen it happen over and over. They want you to believe that these people are still alive. We have seen this here. Multiples of us have seen them here. This is what happens, okay? So, and of course then we did warfare against the demons themselves who were impersonating people who were dead, and they left. So, as it moved through the house towards my paralyzed body, he began to speak in the same dead, evil voice. I remember, I'm going to tell you this, they have the ability to project voice into your mind, okay? But so do the demons, okay? I remember that he was recalling, listen to this, all of my past sins to me. Now, what would an alien gain by recalling your past sins to you? No, this is a demon. We're very knowledgeable about this. This is a dead giveaway. This is a demon whose only defense against Christians' authority over them is to destroy their faith through condemnation for past sins that the Lord, of course, has forgiven them for. But they don't care. So this is their M.O. This is the demon's M.O. No aliens would do this. This is demons impersonating aliens, which they can look like any alien they want to look like. And it would look just like flesh, and it would act just like flesh. We know in the Bible that angels appeared like, for instance, to Abraham. They ended up being two angels and the Lord. And he called them men. Three men showed up. Okay, because they looked like men. Okay. And, of course, two of those were angels who were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Anybody who has dealt with demons very much knows this. They know this. And as he came close to the left side of my body on the floor, suddenly Jesus appeared. He got enough prayer out, didn't he? Jesus appeared in brilliant white light and interrupted his accusations and told him that he had taken all of those things on himself and they were buried and gone now. The real good news. Again, okay? So this good news is the foundation of our faith. The demons fear the authority we have over them. They know we've got authority over them. Most of Christianity don't know that, so they can't exercise it, and they just go along with the flow, right? But people who are spirit-filled and have just a little bit of experience know they have authority over the devil and his demons. And that's why they were cast down in Revelation chapter 12. Luke 10 and 19 says, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." But this authority works through faith. Mark 16 and 17, "And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons." And the demons know this. So what do? They remind you of your past sins, and you're steadily kicking yourself instead of them, right? That's the whole tactic. But it's demons. It ain't aliens. So, and I believe the above would be part of a bigger plan by the deep state. So, this is, I'm going to share something with you from Operation Disclosure. The deep state is to initiate Project Blue Beam Sky Event, which is a fake alien invasion inside a false flag event using fake UFOs, holograms, and advanced military sound weapons. You got that? While the Alliance White Hat military will mimic Project Blue Beam but have a different outcome that benefits current Alliance military strategy war games. So they're going to have a Project Blue Beam type war there, etc. So just pray for the good guys, or at least the better guys. And also the 10 days of communication darkness, martial law, and the EBS D-class are coming. And I believe we're just about there. Okay, it's about now. It's coming. Okay, and they were projected to come on the 10th, and I believe it's going to be correct. We'll see. So you know what that communication darkness involves. You know that it involves people staying at home and watching the D-class and finding out what's really been happening behind the scenes. And he ends his dream with, "Hallelujah." Then the dream ended and I woke up. So I find this fact as a confirmation, he said. "I tried to send this to you back on 6/14/24, but just noticed that it never got to you because it needed to get to me now. That's why. Because the email address was missing the at symbol in it, even though I copied and pasted it. Ah, somebody didn't want to make it to me at that particular time. He wanted it to come now. So, I had put some notes in it and sent it back to him in a reply mail. But as I was getting ready to send it, it disappeared. Obviously, somebody is mad and they are losing. Okay. So anyway, I went through it and put a lot more in it the next time, and he did get it. So let me share this part of George Washington's vision of America. Okay. Now, I know that they always glorify people, you know, after they're dead, you know. And there's people on the other side who de-glorify them. So you really can't tell exactly what's going on. But I believe this dream is from the Lord. Or this vision, let me say, is from the Lord. Okay, the father of our country. Well, I don't agree with that terminology either. George Washington was a man of prayer. That's pretty well known. We have all read of how he went to the thicket many times to pray during the winter. His army was at Valley Forge. However, a little publicity has been given to the vision and prophecy he received at that time. The account of this vision was given in 1859 by an old soldier. He gave it to a writer, Wesley Bradshaw, who published it. And the vision, God revealed to George Washington that three great perils would come upon the Republic. These three perils were the wars happening on this continent. Okay. He was given to know that America was going through the first peril at that time, the Revolutionary War. The old soldier who told the story of the vision said that the nation would soon see the account verified by the second peril descending upon the land. And that was the Civil War. The account is given here as it was reprinted in the U.S. War Veterans paper, the National Tribune, in December of 1880. The National Tribune is now the Stars and Stripes. And this article was reprinted in the Stars and Stripes, December 21st, 1950. And here is the report of this phenomenal and, most importantly, heavenly message for us at this hour. Wesley Bradshaw wrote, "The last time I ever saw Anthony Sherman was on the 4th of July, 1859, in Independence Square. He was then 99 years old and becoming feeble. But though," he was talking about physically feeble, "but though so old, his dimming eyes rekindled as he gazed upon Independence Hall, which he came to visit once more." And this is called Withheld Message Disclosed. "He said, 'Let us go into the hall,' he said. 'I want to tell you of an incident of Washington's life, one which no one alive knows except myself. And if you live, you will before long see it verified. Mark the prediction, you will see it verified.' So from the opening of the Revolution, we experienced all phases of fortune, now good and now ill, one time victorious and another conquered. The darkest period we had, I think, was when Washington, after several reverses, retreated to Valley Forge, where he resolved to pass the winter of 1777. Ah, I have often seen the tears coursing down our dear commander's careworn cheeks as he would be conversing with a confidential officer about the condition of his poor soldiers. You have doubtless heard the story of Washington's going to the thicket to pray. Well, it was not only true, but he used to often pray in secret for aid and comfort. And God brought us safely through the darkest days of the tribulation. One day, I remember it well, the chilly winds whistled through the leafless trees, though the sky was cloudless and the sun shone brightly. He remained in his quarters nearly all of the afternoon alone. And when he came out, I noticed that his face was a shade paler than usual, and there seemed to be something on his mind of more than ordinary importance. Returning just after dusk, he dispatched an orderly to the quarters of an officer who was presently in attendance." And then he calls this part of it an uninvited guest. "After a preliminary conversation of about half an hour, Washington gazed upon his companion with that strange look of dignity which he alone could command, and said to the latter, I do not know whether it is owing to the anxiety of my mind or what, but this afternoon, as I was sitting at this table, engaged in preparing a dispatch, something in the apartment seemed to disturb me. Looking up, I beheld, standing opposite me, a singularly beautiful being. So astonished was I, for I had given strict orders not to be disturbed, that it was some moments before I found language to inquire the cause of the visit. A second, a third, and even a fourth time did I repeat my question, but received no answer from my mysterious visitor except a slight raising of the eyes. By this time I felt strange sensations spreading through me, and I would have risen, but the riveted gaze of the being before me rendered volition impossible. There it is again. They have that power. Not only the good angels have that power, but the bad ones do too. And I essayed once more to speak, but my tongue had become useless, as if paralyzed. A new influence, mysterious, potent, irresistible, took possession of me, and all I could do was gaze steadily, vacantly, at my unknown visitor. Gradually, the surrounding atmosphere seemed to fill with sensations and grew luminous. Everything about me seemed to rarefy, the mysterious visitor also becoming more airy and yet more distinct to my sight than before. I began to feel as one dying, or rather to experience the sensations which I have sometimes imagined accompanied death. I did not think, I did not reason, I did not move, all were alike impossible. I was only conscious of gazing fixedly, vacantly at my companion. So he had to listen very good. The first great peril, which we already know about. Presently I heard a voice saying, "Son of the Republic," that's what we're supposed to be, right? "Look and learn." While at the same time my visitor extended an arm eastward, I now beheld a heavy white vapor at some distance rising fold upon fold. This gradually dissipated, and I looked upon a strange scene. Before me lay spread out in one vast plain all the countries of the world, Europe, Asia, Africa, and America. I saw rolling and tossing between Europe and America the billows of the Atlantic, and between Asia and America lay the Pacific. "Son of the Republic," said the same mysterious voice as before, "look and learn." At that moment I beheld a dark, shadowy being, like an angel, standing, or rather floating, in mid-air between Europe and America. Dipping water out of the ocean in the hollow of each hand, he sprinkled some upon America with his right hand, while with his left he cast some over Europe. Immediately a cloud arose from these countries and joined in mid-ocean. This is, of course, the war, right? The Revolutionary War. For a while it remained stationary, and then it moved slowly westward until it enveloped America in its murky folds. Sharp flashes of lightning gleamed through it at all intervals, and I heard the smothered groans and cries of the American people. And in parenthesis here it says, "This may be interpreted to have been the Revolutionary War then in progress." Yes. Okay, now we go to the second great peril. A second time the angel dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it out as before. The dark cloud was then drawn back to the ocean, in whose heaving billows it sank from view. A third time I heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." I cast my eyes upon America and beheld villages and towns and cities springing up one after another, until the whole land from the Atlantic to the Pacific was dotted with them. Again I heard the mysterious voice say, "Son of the Republic, the end of the century cometh. Look and learn." And this time the dark shadowy angel turned his face southward from Africa. I believe this is talking about slavery, right? The Civil War. I saw an ill-omened specter approach our land. It flitted slowly and heavily over every town and city of the latter. The inhabitants presently set themselves in battle array against each other. And that was, of course, the Civil War. As I continued looking, I saw a bright angel on whose brow rested a crown of light, on which was traced the word Union. He was bearing the American flag, and he placed the flag between the divided nation and said, "Remember, ye are brethren." In other words, reconciliation. Again I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." At this, the dark shadowy angel placed a trumpet to his mouth and blew three distinct blasts. And taking water from the ocean, he sprinkled it upon Europe, Asia, and Africa. And then he speaks on the third and most fearful peril. And this is, I believe, the present war that we are in. The first two, as you know, were fulfilled just as it was given to him. There's no reason this won't be fulfilled too. So then my eyes beheld a fearful scene. From each of these continents arose thick black clouds that were soon joined into one, and throughout this mass there gleamed a dark red light by which I saw hordes of armed men. These men, moving with the cloud, marched by land, sailed by sea to America, which country was enveloped in the volume of the cloud, and I dimly saw these vast armies devastate the whole country and burn the villages, towns, and cities which I had seen springing up. Okay, I will say again, for the sake of God's people, dreams and visions can always be lessened. They can even be taken down. I don't believe this one's going to be taken down, but I believe that ultimately it will be lessened and the war will be won. So, as my ears listened to the thundering of the cannon, clashing of the swords, and the shouts and cries of millions in mortal combat, I again heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." Where the voice had ceased, the dark shadowy angel placed his trumpet once more to his mouth and blew a long and fearful blast. Now this part, as I'm absolutely sure, is being fulfilled. He called it Heaven Intervenes. Instantly a light as of a thousand suns shone down from above and pierced and broke into fragments the dark cloud which enveloped America. These were the armies that are invaded, have invaded. And at the same moment, the angel upon whose head still shone the word Union, and who bore our national flag in one hand and a sword in the other, descended from the heavens, attended by legions of white spirits. That's the angels, who are intervening and have been since the beginning of this war. It's, of course, got many purposes. God always does, you know. He's judging the wicked at this time. He's bringing them out, showing them people their sins, and we will presently see D-class happen. And this will be known. And the angels have been intervening, okay? These immediately, as we know in Revelation chapter 12, you know, where the angels were taking on Satan and his fallen angels and causing them to fall even more. And this was all backed up by the prayers of the saints. So these immediately joined the inhabitants of America, who I perceived were well nigh overcome, but who immediately, taking courage again, closed up their broken ranks and renewed the battle. Yep. Again, amid the fearful noise of the conflict, I heard the mysterious voice saying, "Son of the Republic, look and learn." As the voice ceased, the shadowy angel, for the last time, dipped water from the ocean and sprinkled it upon America. Instantly, the dark cloud rolled back, together with the armies it had brought, leaving the inhabitants of the land victorious. Okay, so, I mean, part of the revelation Andrew had was that Trump was going to be victorious, he and all the people working with him. And I told you that a long time ago because I knew he was Cyrus, and Cyrus was victorious. So then once more I beheld the villages, towns, and cities springing up where I had seen them before, while the bright angel, planting the azure standard he had brought in the midst of them, cried with a loud voice, "While the stars remain and the heavens send down dew upon the earth, so long shall the union last." And taking from his brow the crown on which blazoned the word Union, he placed it upon the standard, while the people, kneeling down, said, "Amen." So here's an interpretation. The scene instantly began to fade and dissolve, and I at last saw nothing but the rising, curling vapor I at first beheld. This also disappeared, and I found myself once more gazing upon the mysterious visitor who, in the same voice I had heard before, said, "Son of the Republic, what you have seen is thus interpreted. Three great perils will come upon the Republic. The most fearful for her is the third. But the whole world united shall not prevail against her. Let every child of the Republic learn to live for his God, his land, and union." With these words, the vision vanished, and I started from my seat and felt that I had seen a vision wherein had been shown me the birth, the progress, and destiny of the United States. Such, my friends, the venerable narrator concluded, were the words I heard from Washington's own lips, and America will do well to profit by them. And then this particular printing came from Life Messengers, Seattle, Washington. So, well, let me say, the angels are in work, but you all have angels, and you can send them forth to do the work. Don't worry, you'll always have one protecting you, but send forth the angels to help in this battle. It's been happening, and they have been winning, and they have been taking down the enemy, and they will continue. So, in the name of Jesus, God bless you. Bye-bye.